And this morning I want to start reading for our text in verse 1. And we'll continue reading on down to verse 8. Genesis 6, begin at verse 1. And going down to verse 8. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." A lot of things can come out of this passage. In fact, this is one of my favorite. I love preaching from Genesis 1 through 11. If I'm not careful, this would be where I'd park and never come out of it for months. But of all the things of Genesis 1 through 11, I really enjoy this period. We're talking about a time period of about 1,500 years after the fall of man, after the creation. The corruption of the human race is so bad that God has determined that it's time to wipe man off the face of the earth with a flood. I love how that God has revealed to us how much He hates sin. You know, sometimes I think it's hard for us to fathom how God feels about sin, being the holy God that He is. And so He uses words here, and He says there in verse 6, "It repented the Lord that He had made man in the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." It grieved Him at His heart. We know that there's a sense in which that nothing that occurs in this world or in human history takes God by surprise. But yet, we also know that at the same time, the Bible is clear here in this, that sin does grieve God. at his heart. We read this. This was some 4,500 years ago. We read it like some distant ancient history. But the reality is that God has not changed. God still is grieved by sin. God still hates sin. God still feels no different about sin than what He did in those days. Although, praise the Lord, He has promised never to destroy this world with a flood like He did in that time. We're reminded of that every time we see a rainbow. Even though sinful man of our day has corrupted the rainbow. Talk about utter foolishness. Rebellious man wants to make a sign or a symbol, and so they take something that God had from that time period and they want to use that as their banner. That doesn't even make good nonsense. But we look at this as something from so long ago, but realize that it's personal. Sin is sin, whether it's then or now. And God is grieved by sin, whether it's the sin of those antediluvian folks in that time period, or the sin of today. God is grieved by your sin, just as we ought to be grieved by it. I love the story here. It's a true story. The wickedness of man was evil continually. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Don't we know that to be true? We know it from watching the news, from watching the TV, from seeing our neighbors. We know it, if we're honest with ourselves, from our own hearts, our own minds, our own flesh. I know I've been born again, and I can only imagine what goes on in the minds of the reprobates. You see, there's a battle going on in my mind. But oh, what a battle it is. And when I think about it and consider it, what there must be going on out in the world. But I know what it is in mine. And God, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. Originally, when God had made man, remember, at the very beginning, God made man in His own image. In the image of God made He man, male and female made He them. That's what the Bible says. And at the end of the creation week, a literal 6 days. Exodus 20:11 makes it clear. It didn't take God a million years for right there in the midst of the Ten Commandments, etched in stone. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You see, that's the basis for our week. You can't measure it by the sun, the moon, or anything else. The revolution of the earth nothing. We got it because God did His work. And at the end of it, He said, it's very good. But then sin came in, didn't it? Destroyed it. Oh, man made a mess of it. And then in a short time, it was a real mess. To the point that God said here in His Word that as He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. I'll destroy, I'll wipe it. Done. You see, God was perfectly fine before man had come on the scene of the earth. He didn't need man. And only that, man, beast, creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Praise the Lord, the story doesn't end there, does it? You ever stop and think that this could have been the end of the Bible, the end of the Revelation, the end of the story? That's it. Maybe a few more sentences about a flood that came and destroyed them all. And that would have been the history of the world. But that's not the end. In verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what I want to preach on for the next few minutes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's the title of my message, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I got to thinking about this last night after we had a Bible study with the family. We're talking about long suffering. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the words mentioned there, and talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is long suffering. Doing a word study, you find that one of the examples given there in 1 Peter is talking about Noah and an example given about the flood. But oh, how we can apply this to our lives. And we begin thinking about Noah and we begin thinking about our own lives and we begin thinking about all this. Because it does apply. In fact, there's a lot of parallels from this time period to our time period. If you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24, begin verse 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't know how long it'll be before the Lord comes back. But I look around this world and I can see some parallels to what it must have been like before the the flood. So with that thought in mind, let us see what we can glean from this passage there in Genesis chapter 6. What does he mean, first of all, in Matthew 24, that they were eating, drinking, and so on in Matthew 24? And that they were marrying and given in marriage. Well, it means that they were living life. They were concerned about the physical and not concerned about the spiritual. Listen, folks, and I mean, we can go and speculate about who was spiritual in the time of Noah. I mean, I'm sure that Noah had some spiritual influences, you know, Methuselah and some of those folks. But here's the reality of it. Consider our day. What are we doing? We're eating. We're drinking. Getting married. Working. Let me tell you, I even look at my week last week. Oh, it was easy. Easy to find time for work. It was easy to find time to eat. It was easy to find time to drink. It's easy to find time to sleep. Easy for the physical things. But it was a struggle for the spiritual, wasn't it? I had to fight to make it happen. We have time for those things that we find important. Even as Christians, we sometimes go through our day without paying any mind. And even as we sung the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, did you feel like a hypocrite? When was the last time? Honestly, when you took an hour for prayer. Oh, but we got time for an hour for a movie. 2 hours for a movie. Most of the time it's sweet. 2 minutes for a quick prayer before we eat. Thank you for this food. Genesis chapter 6, I tell you, it's been a long time since I've had a whole hour of prayer, and I can tell you that, much too long. Genesis chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1 and looking at 1, 2, and 3, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit which shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God is not ignorant about what's going on. Verse 5, he says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination or thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God knows what's happening. He sees it. He saw no Charles Spurgeons on the earth at that time. There were no Puritans. There were no Robert E. Lee's, noble men, right? No good Samaritans. But rather he saw wicked and evil men on the earth, criminals. Now a person walking around might say, well, I'm not too bad, I'm not too awful bad. But we gotta see things the way God sees it. It grieved him his heart. How the guilt and folly of sin affects the divine nature is unknown to us, but the language here is given us to better understand what God feels. In the New Testament, look at Luke chapter 19. Luke 19:41. And when he was come near him, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus wept over the city. The evils that were about to overcome it. It's interesting when we study Jesus and the senses that we find him of great tender spirit. We never read of him laughing, but on more than one occasion we read of him in tears. Our text, we find God grieving. Heart. When was the last time we wept over sin? Judgment. A sinner. Oh, may we see sin as God sees it. The filth that it is. Noah found grace. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace. The eyes of the Lord. That tiny word, but. Oh. When you read that, stop and pay attention. Something's about to change. I love that. That's there. I thank the Lord for verse 8. Without verse 8, without that conjunction, without that word but there, there would be no hope for Noah. There'd be no hope for the rest of the human race. But Noah found grace. Now some folks believe that Noah was a good man amongst all of a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners. A rose among many thorns, if you will. But that's not what I read here. In fact, what I read in Genesis chapter 6 is that the whole of the human race was corrupted, including Noah. In fact, what I read in the Scriptures is that when Adam fell, the whole of the human race fell with him. That means you, me, Noah, Noah's wife, everyone fell. All of us deserved death. You see what I'm saying? And when God said in His Word that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, guess who was lumped in that? I believe Noah was. Noah was not born pure. Noah was not born righteous. Noah was not born without sin. Now there was only one who would be born that way. But he wasn't born yet. Not in Genesis chapter 6. He would come later. And that was Jesus Christ. He's the only one who would escape the sinful nature that would come upon all mankind. Noah was a sinner too, just like everybody else. That means Noah probably had a filthy mouth. Noah probably looked at pornography. Noah was probably lusting after women. Noah was probably out there doing things, running with the wicked and everything else until the Lord got a hold of him. How do I know that? Because the Scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's that mean? It means he obtained unmerited favor. There was nothing that he could do for it. Not any worth or work on his part. He was guilty of the common corruption of human nature, and he needed God's grace and mercy to pardon and preserve him from the destruction to come. He didn't deserve to be saved in the ark, but he was chosen. He was chosen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are, verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. How in the world does a man in such a world as that be a just man and perfect and walk with God? I'll tell you how. The same way that you do it. The same way that I can do it. The same way that these young people can do it today. By the grace of Almighty God. That's how. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Mark well, this world is full of sin and wickedness. Before we were saved, we were a part of it. And were it not for the grace of God, we'd still be right in the midst of it. Drowning as it were. In it, this world full of sin and wickedness and no hope. But we've been saved by His grace. We have nothing to boast of. Someone said, well, there's not much about Noah's life before this. Oh, I can tell you what Noah was doing. Noah was in the midst of it all. But God pulled him up out of it. Said, I've got something better for you to do. Over in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11. Verse 7. It says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Understand something. He wasn't scared of the water. He was saved from that. That fear he's talking about is fear of God. He's talking about that he feared God. He obeyed God. You see, when you get down in here and understand something, he obeyed God. He built that ark. I don't know what kind of background Noah had, if he'd ever built a boat before in his life or not, but God said, build an ark. Noah said, okay. He built an ark. In fact, I love this in Genesis 6, verse 22. Genesis 6 and 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God's grace is so amazing that out of all the wickedness that was going on in that world, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him a huge task, a monumental task. The world said, man, it's a crazy thing you're doing. But whatever the Lord told him to do, that's what he did. No wonder Newton said, amazing grace, amazing grace. If you've never experienced it, you have no idea what we're talking about, but no one understood. You understood. I know. You know, if you've been saved, you know what this is. You know what I'm talking about. Noah wasn't worried about the water. He was obedient to God's plans. Everything worked like he should have. The rest of the world, still corrupt, still on its path to destruction, but not Noah and not his family. We kind of bring this to a close. I want us to consider in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10. Paul says here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Regardless of how wicked, sinful the world around us is, if you've been saved today, work for the Lord. Be thankful for His grace. It's by the grace of God that we are where we are. Because were it not for the grace of God, we'd be numbered with the rest of the world. You and I, like Noah, we often find ourselves in the minority. You know, remember, he built that big old boat. After all, 120 years, all that work, pretty long ministry, longest boat ministry I guess anybody ever had. And yet, all they got on was his family. But God blessed his faithfulness. Preserved the entirety of the human race and a whole bunch of animals as a result. We may not find ourselves doing that kind of work. But we have work to do, don't we? Will we do it? As we do it, may we be faithful to do all that the Lord commands. The results are His. He just wants us to be faithful. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God for the grace that we've been given. May God add a blessing to His word.